One of the things that we need to understand, and you probably heard the question asked, why are you here? And mostly in the past, it was answered this way. You were here to pray and pay. But that's not why you're here. See, God is doing something with his people that the world doesn't even understand. And even many people attending churches of God don't grasp it in the way that they ought to. We are here because what we see in the world, we're going to change. We are here because the rulers of this world have failed. The bankers of this world have failed. The educators of this world have failed. The religionists of this world have failed. And so God is going to do something that will seem like insanity to them. He's going to use us to correct it. Now let's come to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And it has to do with our calling. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Now God has something fantastic and great for us. Many different things for us. A lot of these things, now you've heard me say, we just finished the series From Speck of Dust to a Son of God on Church at Home. And I mentioned, if you haven't seen him, by all means, go online and see him if you're online. How many watch Church at Home online? Okay. Well, if not, you'll eventually get them because we send out 9 Church at Homes on DVDs every month. Okay? But you've heard me ask you to do this, so let's do it again. Take your pen, put it on a piece of paper, make a little dot there. Okay? Now that's pretty small, isn't it? The truth is, that's how big we were when we were conceived. And everything that you are now was all contained in that little pinprick of life. Now, put another little dot there. Okay? That's what you still are compared to what we shall be. If you grasp the fact that being a spirit being is so vastly superior to a physical human being, though we're made in the image of God. And so we're going to see that God is going to take us, the world, you know, what do you think would happen if we took a group of God's people and we marched on Washington, D.C., and we got out there on the same place where Glenn Beck was with his, what was it, million and a half people, 600,000, whatever. We got out there, and there's just a paltry few hundred people there. And we carried signs. And we said, you are all fired. We're taking over. You're nuts. See? Well, let's see, that's what God is going to do. Now let's pick it up here. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. All right, verse 24. Now let's go back to verse 19. See, because we would be talking to all of the educated elite. We'd go up to President Obama and say, "You're demoted. The tax cheat Geithner, you're a liar. Uncle Ben Bernanke, your counterfeiting days are over." Okay? All of those on Wall Street, it's over. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will nullify the understanding of those who understand. All of the elite, all of the educated. Okay. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Did not God make foolish the wisdom of this world? And everything that we just mentioned. What happens to every single religion and government and financial plan and everything? It all collapses in foolishness, does it not? Yeah, I just talked to Ben. And he said that he had $100 trillion Zairean dollar. 100 trillion. Cost him $3. You were overcharged. Okay. Now, here's the reason God is going to do this. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its own wisdom did not know God. They had a chance to know God. Since they didn't, it pleased God to save those who believed through the foolishness of preaching. We believe God, we believe His Word, we believe His Bible, we trust in salvation through Jesus Christ, and we have died for it in a watery grave, and we're willing, if you want to take our life, take it, because God's going to resurrect us. So there really isn't anything you can do to us. See? Through the foolishness of preaching. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, to the Jews a cause of offense, and to the Greeks it is foolishness. But notice, verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. See, because what we will see is, God is doing something with us. He does not expect us to stay the way that we are. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And wouldn't you think hiring us to run the world would be foolish in the eyes of people? You know. Rod, what's your education for? Well, I believe God. Well, how do you think you're going to run the world? Well, we need the love of God. Well, how do you think that's going to work? We're going to teach them. Now, how are you going to run the world on that? Well, sit down and shut up, and you wait and see. Okay? Likewise to all of us. And the weakness of God, if he has any, is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren. This is what I want to focus on. We have been called. We're not here because we're practicing a social club. We're not here because we've joined a religion. We are not here just so we can, how shall I say, help improve the world. Though the world around us should be improved because we're to be lights of the world and salt of the earth. That is true. But we are here to be educated by God. Okay? Your calling. That there are not many who are wise according to the flesh. How many here have PhDs? Okay? Nobody here is Nobel Prize winner. You wouldn't be here if you had it. Okay? Not many who are powerful. Any billionaires here among us? Any millionaires here among us? Not too many. Most of us would probably fall in 50,000 category tops. Okay? And that's just a little above poverty line, you know. What is the poverty line? 37,000, a three-bedroom house, two baths, two cars, four televisions, 15 cell phones, you know. You're in poverty. Not many powerful, not many high-born. Any princes? Princesses? dukes, earls? No. But we're all going to be kings and priests, are we not? Yes, indeed. Rather, God has chosen the foolish things of the world. How many of us done foolish things? I want to ask you to raise your hands, because every hand would go up. You may have even done some of them yesterday. So that he might put to shame those who are wise. See, now, a lot of people can't understand why the world elite really hate Sarah Palin. They hate her because she ain't one of them in their club, see. And she believes in some common sense things. And since she's against the elite, look at the hatred that they put on her. Okay? Now, if they really knew that we're going to take over the world, just think what would happen to us. That's why God does it below the surface. You see? Even Janet Napolitano would look at her group and say, well, they're just, you know, harmless group of people. Okay? God has chosen the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame those who are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world so that he might put to shame the strong things. Anybody here does not have a bodily weakness of any kind? No hands raised. Okay? Okay, now let's summarize that. Okay. We're not wise according to the flesh. We're not powerful. We're not highborn. We're foolish. Okay? We are weak. And he's chosen all of this to put to shame and confound the rulers of this world. So that means with God's Spirit and God's Word, we got a lot of educating to do through his Word and through his Spirit. And God will help us with it. We'll see that as we go along. Verse 28. And the lowborn of the world and the despised has God chosen. How many here have never been despised? See? You all fit. I'm reading your, what would you call this, your MO? Modus operandi? Okay? Even the things that are counted as nothing, in order that he might bring to nothing the things that are, so that no flesh might glory in his presence. We give all the glory to God, see. But you are of him in Christ, who has made to us, who was made to us through Christ, wisdom from God, even righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, so that you, as this second little speck compared to eternal life, will be born into the kingdom of God and rule with Christ. So that, as it is written, the one who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Okay. Now let's come to Ephesians, the third chapter. Just a few pages over, Ephesians, the third chapter. Okay. Ephesians, the third chapter. Because what we are covering here is something that had to be revealed from God. And it's only contained in the Scriptures, and in the Scriptures, until the New Testament, it was hidden. But now it is revealed, but it is only revealed to those whom God calls. Because God has the greatest secret plan going of any in the history of the world. Let's read it here, beginning in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, am the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. If indeed you have heard of the ministry of the grace of God that was given to me for you, how he made known to me by revelation the mystery. Now, mystery means secret. God has revealed to us his secret plan. Now, if you want to put it in political terms, we'll do it. God's secret plan to overthrow the world. Let's read on. Even as I wrote briefly before, so that when you read this, you will be able to comprehend my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. So, brethren, I want you to grasp what that says. And I want you to understand that regardless of the circumstances that you see going on in the world, God's plan is on time, Christ's return is on time, and we need to be preparing. We need to be working. We need to be educating ourselves through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you see. Wasn't made known. That's why there's the second resurrection. Think how fantastic it's going to be being in the first resurrection, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, but it has now been revealed to his holy apostles. All the apostles got the same revelation. And prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles might be joint partakers of a joint body and joint heirs, rather. Okay? Now let's stop and think about being heirs. What does it mean to be an heir? Not an E-R-R-O-R. Error. That's what we are now. But an heir, H-E-I-R, means you're going to inherit something, correct? When you inherit it, you own it, do you not? Okay, hold your place here and go to Romans 8, because we'll come back to Ephesians, so don't lose your place. Romans 8. See, because God has called us to a great and fantastic calling, and this has to do with being his sons and daughters. Okay? Now let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. And in this, God has made a distinct dividing line in the world. Absolute dividing line. And that is whether you have the Spirit of God or not. That is the dividing line. And God says he doesn't give his Spirit to those who do not obey him. You must obey him. You must love him. You must serve him. You must believe him. Now, some Sunday keepers may have one of the seven spirits of God, which God sends out to those who are seeking God. And if they're seeking God and trying to go by the Bible, God will recognize that. But they're not converted. Now, I don't care how nice a Sunday keeper may be. I don't care what kind of works they may do. But if they're a Sunday keeper, are they disobeying God and denying the Sabbath? Yes. They are not converted. That simple. You want to find out their conversion? Nail them on the Sabbath. You'll find out how quick that is. Okay. Now here it is. It says in verse 8, Romans 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you, and that's the result of baptism and laying on of hands. See? Now, those who have the Spirit of God, no one in the world can tell that you have the Spirit of God. But God knows. If the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. There is that dividing line. Absolutely clear. See? But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because we love God, we keep His commandments in the Spirit. We serve God, we believe God. That's the righteousness that God wants. That's why, as one man I was talking to recently said, when he was recuperating from a broken leg, and that was quite a situation. He was a paraplegic and in a wheelchair. He can move his arms and things, but he can't walk because of an accident. And he fell and broke his leg. And the doctor said we couldn't put a pin in it to hold it so it would heal because of his condition. So it went on week after week with the bones like this, separated, but not lined up to be healed. And after all the brethren praying for him and being anointed, then all of a sudden one day, bones came together and grew back. So that was indeed a miracle. And he told me, he said, you know, while I was recuperating from this, because he wasn't able to do anything for about 6 months altogether. And he said, you know, when I read the book, Judaism, is it a revelation of Moses or a religion of men? And listened to the series, Scripturalism versus Judaism. He said, that opened my mind to understand the Scriptures even more. So likewise here, see, God has given His Spirit to you. Now, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is in you, who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of His Spirit that dwells within you. See? Now, a lot of us, we're all going to a place of safety. And that place of safety is spelled G-R-A-V-E, the grave. And indeed, we will be that little speck again, right? Now, sometimes I think about this. What's going to happen at the resurrection? That is going to be astonishing to the world. And I really think they're going to see it. All right, let's go on. I'll just let you think on that for a little bit. Will quicken our mortal bodies because of His Spirit that dwells within you. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you are living according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Showing the process of overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. As long as we're in the flesh, we need to overcome. Draw close to God. Cry out to Him. Seek for His Spirit. Yearn for His truth. And I just finished the third one that I gave on the washing of the water by the Word and how our minds are to be converted through that process, you see. Okay, now notice. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now we have not received a spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the Spirit of sonship. I want you to understand this is from God the Father. Doesn't come through, it doesn't come through a church that is a corporate organization. It comes from God the Father through faith, through repentance, through baptism, receiving the laying on of hands. That's how it comes, no other way. That is a spiritual operation. Now notice what it gives to us. You have something that no one else in the world has. Only those who have the Spirit of God have this access. And I want you to think about it. I want you to think how, even though we are weak, despised, foolish, whatever, that God loves us, God has called us, God is going to use us, God wants us to yield to Him, to grow in grace and knowledge, and all of those things, you see. Notice, whereby we call out, Abba, Father. God the Father himself has called you, given you his Spirit. He has provided his word for us. And he's working within you so that you may grow and overcome. Working within you that you can put to death the deeds of the flesh. Working in you to give you wisdom and faith and understanding of the Word of God. And you have direct access to God the Father. Now that's something. You know, there are a lot of people at work who would like to have the inside ear, you know, the inside track to the boss, and have the ear of the boss, wouldn't they? Yes. Well, God has given you through his Spirit the inside track to the Father through Jesus Christ. Think of that. So don't ever get so discouraged that things are so bad that you wonder, oh, what's going to happen? Things are so bad. Well, the only thing can happen, it may get a little worse, but God still loves you. That doesn't change God. That doesn't change your calling. It just means that you're going through a trial from which when you overcome it and come out the other side of it, that you're going to understand that God has been with you all the way. You know, you read in the book of Psalms, it says that I'm with you in trouble. Let me ask you a question. If you have the Spirit of Christ in you, when you're going through trouble, is Christ going through it with you? Yes, he is. See, so if we can understand the greatness of the calling that God has given to us and the way that God is working it and the ultimate goal of ruling the world, I mean, you won't ever, ever have to get discouraged at the television or shoot it. Okay. Now let me tell you a spiritual truth. You've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political means. Now you see here all these Republicans sent back there to Congress to control spending, right? What do they want to do? They want to cut off funding for Planned Parenthood. Everybody thinks, oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Except those who don't want it to be cut off. God has a better idea. Stop adultery and fornication and perversion. You won't need the funding. Right? Well, that's a perfect example. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political or physical means. See, so with the Spirit of God, we need to train ourselves to see the real cause. And the real cause is the sin of the world. And the only way the world is going to understand what sin is that we all succeed to the resurrection and we rule the world and teach them. Think of that. All right, let's read on. Verse 16. The Spirit itself witnesses conjointly with our own spirit. Now this is to God. Directly to God. Testifying that we are the children of God. See, because God is doing a great work on this earth through this process of calling us so that we can rule the world. But he's got to change us. He has to mold us. He has to convert us. He has to give us of his Spirit, of his love, of his faith, and all of these things. And he's there to give them. But we have to seek after it. Now notice what it's going to lead to. Verse 17. And if we are children, we are also heirs. Heirs. Truly heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What is Christ going to inherit? The vastness of the kingdom on heaven and earth, right? In heaven and earth, right? Now notice this little if. If indeed we suffer together with him, so that we may also be glorified together with him. You want to know how Christ looks? Read Revelation, the first chapter. Face shines like the sun in its full strength. Glorified body. Feet are so holy that they just are like melted brass in a furnace in appearance. Now, Chad was telling me that he does some kind of soldering, I think it is with silver solder, and you have to use the hotter flame, and it makes the copper that you are, the joints that you are soldering together, transparent in the flame, and you can see the solder when it melts go right in and then lock right into that joint. Okay? Same way. Joint heirs. Jointly suffering, you see. Now here's how to look at the events around. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creation itself is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Now think of that. What would that be like at the United Nations? Okay, we're here to tell you, you're all waiting for us. All right. Now let's see what God has to do with us and for us and to us so we can reach this point. Okay? Let's come back to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now I'll tell you this. If you want to really, really, really be inspired, if you're down low, you're really feeling bad, you've gone through whatever you're going through, you get your Bible, open it up, get on your knees, and start reading through chapter 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Ephesians. Use that as your prayer. Read a verse and pray about it. Read a verse and pray about it. Read a verse and pray about it. If you're really in trouble, then take a day of fasting. And take that day of fasting where you do this, you get on your knees, you read the Bible, you pray about it, you pray about your problem, you ask God to intervene, you keep beseeching him, you keep asking him, then you get up and you take a break, maybe take a little rest, come back and do it again. And do that 3 or 4 times in a day. That'll help you draw close to God. But those 3 chapters are my favorite. The entire Bible. Now let's begin right in verse 1, Ephesians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's a prophecy out to us. You see? Now here is what God the Father gives you. And this is why, brethren, look. Now, I need to stop here and tell you what's happening in the churches of God. Because they're all responding carnally. And they're all being tested. Now, you probably heard me mention this before. But you see, if they really grasp the meaning of their calling and their service and their eldership, and how to serve the brethren without exalting themselves over the brethren, but to help them be in contact with God the Father and Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be any of this nonsense going on. But let's come back here to 2 Chronicles 31. Okay, 2 Chronicles 31. No, 32. Beg your pardon. Okay. This is right after the defeat of the army of the Syrians. Never have we been confronted with a problem like this. Being in the little city of Jerusalem and surrounded by 180,000 of the strongest, toughest, meanest Assyrians who just got done conquering Egypt, came back with all the loot with them. They were loaded down, and the last place they were coming was to Jerusalem to take all the loot away from the Jews and out of the temple, and boy, there was plenty of it there. So what happened? Isaiah and Hezekiah prayed to God. God answered. He sent an angel and killed the whole army except Sennacherib. He woke up in the morning, didn't hear a sound, looked out, they were all dead. All dead. Boy, you don't need nightly news for that to get around. That got around all around. Oh, my. So here's what happened. Verse 23, and many brought gifts to the Lord to Jerusalem. Oh, let's send a gift to the Lord in Jerusalem, lest that happens to our army, you know. See? And presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all the nations from that time forward. But he got a big head. And in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death and prayed to the Lord. And he spoke to him and gave him a sign. God healed him. But he didn't respond the way that he should have. Verse 25, but Hezekiah responded not again according to the good done to him, for his heart was lifted up. That's what's wrong with the church of God today. The hearts of the ministers and people are lifted up, mostly the ministers, and the people are silly enough to follow them. So you follow Christ. Therefore, there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem, notwithstanding Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart and the people of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now come down to verse 31. So this describes exactly what is happening. Nevertheless, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent to him to ask about the wonder that was done in the land, that is, destroying of the armies, God left him. I've spoken about that several times recently, but I want you to underline that. God left him in order to try him to know all that was in his heart. That's the answer as to what has happened to the church of God every time God has to scatter it. See, because what we do, brethren, is not because of who we are, what we are, or what we do because we have great ability. It is who God is and who Christ is and how we yield to him and how we serve the brethren, you see. You know, just like the army of Gideon. God says, okay, raise up an army. I want you to go against the enemy. So he sent out the word to all of Ephraim. Boy, they were ready to fight. Just like Peter we covered earlier in the morning, you know. Lord, I'm ready to fight with you and go to prison with you and everything. And he said, get from behind me, Satan. So here came 32,000 people down there to Gideon, had all their armor and everything ready to go. And God said, that's too many. So he says, we're going to separate them out. And I want you to go down to the creek. I want you to have everyone take a drink. And only those that lap water like a dog we're going to use. Now that's the stupidest thing you ever saw, right? Have you ever drank water like a dog? I mean, you watch it in slow motion, their tongue goes backward and they scoop it up like a little cup. Okay? Can you do that with your tongue? Okay. How's that for qualification? And then he had to tell all the rest of them, go home, the Lord doesn't need you. And they were mad as could be at him. Okay? All right. Same way. With the church of God, the question is not how many do you have in attendance. The question is, who's converted? And here's another good example of you can't accomplish spiritual things by physical or carnal means. If you do, God will leave you. And I feel sorry for the brethren. And I feel sorry for the ministers going through it. God is merciful. God is kind. But the day is at hand. And they better get real serious with God, because God's going to get real serious with them. It's like he did with Hezekiah. He was merciful. He was merciful to Hezekiah. But after he died, guess who came on the scene? Manasseh, his son, for 55 years. Now, we think 8 years of a president is really an endurance process, don't we? Try 55 years of Obama and every evil under the sun. See? Because when men give themselves over to their abilities and things that they do, God leaves them. Now, we want God close to us. We want God in us. And that's what the whole story is of why we are called. Let's go ahead and take a break.